Be grateful for your prayers again this morning. I'll receive your attention for a little while. Propose to speak by the Lord's help about sowing and reaping. And I have a passage of scripture in the 28th of Isaiah, which reads as way. Give ye ear, said the prophet, and hear my voice. Hearken and hear my speech. Doth the plowman plow all day to sow? Doth he open and break the clods of his ground? When he hath made the plain the face thereof, doth he not cast abroad the fitches and scatter the cumin and cast in the principal wheat and the appointed barley and the rye in their place? For his God doth instruct him to discretion and doth teach him. Speaking strictly from a standpoint of agriculture, those verses are talking about the skill and the labor of someone who prepares a field for planting. Anyone who's ever done farming knows that some soils bring forth certain crops better than others do. I've lived in country where people didn't plant very much row crop, corn, things of that sort, because the climate was bad for it, because every summer there would be a dry season, and those crops wouldn't make. So they planted hay and other things that grow more quickly, harvested more easily. Experience has taught them to do that. That's what this passage of Scripture is talking about so far. And then the Scripture said, the fitches are not threshed with a threshing instrument, neither is a cartwheel turned about upon the cumin. But the fitches are beaten out with a staff, and the cumin with a rod. Bread corn is bruised, because he will not ever be threshing it, nor break it with the wheel of his cart, nor bruise it with his horsemen. And these comments now have to do with the harvest time, and there is also a skill necessary for any farmer in the way that crops are harvested, because they're not all treated in the same way. They don't all mature at the same time. The combine that's used for picking corn is not suitable for cutting hay, and so forth. But the key thought to this passage of Scripture is, his God doth instruct him to discretion and doth teach him. And then again, this also cometh forth from the Lord of hosts, which is wonderful in counsel and excellent in working. So the wisdom, the understanding of how to toil in the soil is not the skill or the capability alone of the person who does it, but God brings things to pass in people's lives that teach them. He gave man logic, reason, understanding. Even people who have no contact with God or interest in God, this scripture is teaching us that yet over such a person, there is a providential hand that guides, that governs in his mercy toward all mankind. Of course, I'm not thinking about literal wheat or corn today. I'm thinking about people's souls and eternal destiny. And that is what is most in need of a governing hand of the Lord. So the scripture that I said, the plowman plows to sow. And when he's opened and broken the ground and prepared the way, but he's got instruction from the Lord of when to do it, and so we. The summer now is quite a ways advanced, and the farmers are not plowing their ground around us to plant corn. It would be a foolish thing to plant corn here in August or September. The time for planting is either late in the fall with some kinds of seedlings or at the start of spring. As soon as the ground is dried up enough and the weather is mild enough so the winter's frost won't kill the corn, that's the time that people plant. And after that, it's a process of cultivating and developing what's there. In the same way, in the young years of a person's life, we plant the seeds that are going to pretty much determine what our history is along the way. Life is a process of sowing and reaping. And when folks reach the age where I am now, mostly it's reaping. Mostly we are the products of the seeds that we have planted in the times past. Surely that is the Lord's intent, that we understand to be careful to plant things in our lives wisely. We're all under a law of seasons. Every one of us move through life in a pattern. There's nothing we can do that changes that. And the simple fact is that the first 22, 3, 4 years of our lives have a great deal to do with the kind of character that we form. It's important to plant seeds when we're young, because they will not have time to develop as well in the later years. Granted always that the Lord has a plan of salvation that can change a person. Nevertheless, the seeds we plant early in our life have a great deal to do with the kind of person that we are. So my little thought this morning has to do with being careful what we plant. There are wide possibilities in the early years of life. I've noted through the years how when folks reach the teenage years and the years immediately after, it's like their life is almost like a clean field, plowed and harrowed and disked until the soil is fine. But everything, anything could be planted there. All manner of possibilities are open. And yet, in just a little while, that all changes. That all changes. So it's important to be careful what we plant, as I have said, during that time. During those times can be planted holiness. It can be planted character. It can be planted integrity and honor and beautiful things. Or you can also plant the seeds of useless passions, of enjoyment of the things of the flesh, of dishonesty, of fulfilling vices and lusts and things of that sort. But there is an inexorable law connected with this law of seasons. Just as there is a planting, there is also going to be a reaping somewhere along the way. And what we plant is what we're going to reap. So it's important that we should plant wisely and well. What we are planting is changing daily. Our lives change daily. And we go through a process. So I like to talk a little bit about the things that it's important to plant and what we are all planting, whether we think of it so or not. For instance, habits. Habits are often formed in youth and last people through their lifetime. Habits start out small and maybe easily change in a moment. Just such a habit as awakening early in the morning and preparing yourself for the day. Some people discipline themselves to do that, and some do not. And when you're 16, it doesn't matter an awfully lot. Because when you're 17, somebody can force you to change, and that change may last you for a lifetime. But habits are like kittens. Or maybe I should say tiger cubs. Because they start out small and cute and beautiful, but they grow. And after a while, those little claws that once you could easily push away can draw blood. And then the true ferocious spirit of the beast can be displayed. And when a habit has been planted for years and years, it's a far more difficult thing to control than it was when you're young. So all of us are planting habits in our lives, especially during the young years. It's important to pay enough attention to your life to be willing to make good habits. People used to teach that in school. I don't know if it is so much in high school anymore. We hear more about diversity being taught and things of that sort. But I wish people were taught good, healthy habits. Brush your teeth every morning. Be careful about your person and your appearance and so forth. And the habits of the way that you let your thoughts go in life. The things that you consider and ponder on, they're important because they're going to not stay small. They grow. They're like seeds that you planted in the ground, and they will mature and develop. Or I think about some of the things that people plant are beliefs. The things we believe. And this is important. I would God would give me the wisdom to explain, the capability to explain how important our beliefs are. They govern our lives. But so often, people's beliefs from which we draw our opinions, and we use our opinions to shape the way we think about life, and the choices that we make as life goes along are often based on our opinions. People who have no solid belief system put into their hearts in the early years make their opinions according to their feelings and according to outstanding events that happen in their lives. And they're random. They're uncertain. They're not fixed on anything solid or sure. They're just on people's feelings. And yet they use this uncertain, jumbled mass to govern and guide their lives. Children need to be taught right from wrong. They need to have opinions in favor of things that are right. And the very best way I could say, the single most important element in any human existence is a religious background, because that is what teaches the values of right and wrong. I'm a Christian. I believe in all life, the most valuable background that there is a Christian values system based on the teachings of the Bible. All of us need something higher than ourselves. Higher than ourselves. I was thinking not long ago, one of the candidates for the United States Supreme Court was being interviewed in Congress. And one of the senators who was questioning her about her being prepared for that job asked her, "Where did you get your value system?" And she said, "You know, I never thought about it." All of her conclusions are based on a mass of people's teachings, of philosophies, randomly mixed into her mind. And you can see these things in the choices and decisions that people make in life. You man and I may never sit on the United States Supreme Court, but we're all going to make decisions. And we need to have a good value system, a belief. A belief, may I say, in something greater than we are. Greater than we are. There are things that are higher than we. There is a law of right and wrong that is higher than we are. The founders of our nation in the Constitution, in its preamble, referred to that. They said we hold these truths to be self-evident, that we are equal and have certain inalienable rights. Humans are not able to give inalienable rights to one another. Those things all speak of something divine. And those things that have been the core beliefs of our nation are based on opinions. Those were their opinions. And they got those opinions from the Bible, from belief system. You understand what I'm trying to say to you? It's impossible to overestimate how important our opinions are in our life, because we govern our life by these things. And the time to build that belief system is when we're young. Those are seeds that we're planting. I'll say this of a godly belief system. It will grow a plant that will shelter you from many a storm later on in life, if you will be careful to cultivate it. And I will also say concerning this, the Lord knows we need it more than we do. And He has a way of sending things in His mercy into people's lives to give us a reasonable basis to believe in Him. So it's important to believe. Our belief system is what we use to form our perception of ourselves, who we are. If you don't know who you are, you'll never know how you fit in life. You will never know how to build relationships with other people. Our belief system helps us learn who we are, and it also helps us understand and put in perspective the world about us. Well, may I say here a word or two about the Christian belief system? We believe there was a Savior. We believe He came to deliver us from sin. We believe that He is the Creator through His power and His Father by the Holy Spirit of the cosmos, things that are here. We believe He also has a plan to call it all into judgment at a time of His choosing. Because we believe these things, we try to be careful by His grace to do good to one another, to not make this temporal world our God, to be interested in goodness, in kindness, in purity, and in innocence. It's all based on the belief system. You plant that when you're young. and people make choices about it. So I urge you this morning, be careful of the things that you plant, because they have a great deal to do with the way the rest of your life will be. Or may I speak of character? The time to build character is when we're young. Lord, help us here. Sometimes I think folks think of life, the Lord compared it to building a house, as if the truck from the lumber yard came by your residence and just tilted the bed up and poured out on the ground a pile of lumber and bricks and other materials, and that's the way life is. That it's a series of bricks or things that you run into every day. And people see very little beyond so often what today's obstacles and problems are. I ran into a brick today, and I had to deal with this one brick or this one incident, and fail to realize that all of those bricks, one by one, whether we do it well or not, they're being laid into a building. Life is a process beginning with childhood, ending somewhere we know not, but the whole of it, taken together, paints a picture that is undeniable of who we are and what we did. And to a great deal, as I mentioned before, when we are young, we are making our own history. Life is affected in later years by things that happen around us, but in reality, it is affected more by the decisions that we made when we were young that determine what we're going to do with these events when they come to us. So we'd be wise to ask the Lord to help us to see that although life is broken up into small pieces, days, hours, minutes, every one of them are bricks that we are putting in a wall that is saying something about ourselves. Character is built like that, a brick at a time, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. Life is a series of choices, and we are wise to give ourselves to making good choices, careful choices, choices that lead to character and integrity, nobility, uprightness along the way. Christianity teaches those things, and so it should. And also in Christianity is grace to live in those manners. Along with building character or not, we're building a reputation. Every one of us are. We're not only known to ourselves, we are known to others. And you will find as life goes along that you have to live with your reputation. Some things about our reputation people think of us are misconceptions. And so often, when we hold a higher estimate of ourselves than the reality justifies, we think most of what other people think about us is misconception. But the reality is we're going to live with their perception of us, whether it's good or bad. We ought to care about our reputations. Or I could say we ought to care about living such a life that those who love us and know us best will have reason to respect us. Because when we get in the later years, if we have behaved in disrespectful fashions, that's going to follow us. People who love us and they're called upon to trust us to base decisions of which perhaps we know nothing, that have a great deal to do with the way they handle themselves toward us, they're going to make those decisions based on what they have seen us do in the past. If, for instance, we have shown we're unwilling to develop business skills, just taking care of money, when we get into later years, those who have more money are less likely to trust us with it. I can give you a very graphic example of that. When my wife and I got married, I was working two jobs to try to make money for us and put the money in the bank. To me, the important thing was to get the work done and let the money take care of itself. When I got married, my wife, who's far more skillful at business than I, found my checkbook and looked at it. We cut our honeymoon a little short because we were afraid we were running out of money, or I was, and she looked at it and said, "Honey, you have $200 in the bank," which is a lot more money then than it is now. I was working for $60 a week. You have $200 in the bank that I didn't even know was there. And that's been a long time ago, but still today, I couldn't tell you how much money I have in the bank. Because I didn't put those habits in my life when I was young. Do I have the intelligence to add 2 plus 2 and tell you what it can? Yes, I do. But I didn't develop those habits. And if anything happens to her, I'm going to have to do something. And my family know that. Your reputation follows you, folks. People base decisions about you on your reputation. If your reputation has been when the work gets too hard, you quit. If your reputation has been when the pressure's too great, you go get drunk. Your family know that. And the reputation follows you. We need to be careful of what we build in our lives. Because all of that starts with the seeds that we sow. So when we're young, nothing that any person does ever dies. The blood of Jesus can cover it. Please don't misunderstand my meaning. I know that it can. Saul or Paul persecuted the saints. He caused some to be put to death, and he caused some to be put in prison. He got converted. He became a great lion for God. But I have to think there were times when he stood in front of a congregation and there were widows there because of what he had done. Don't you know they remembered that? What he'd done followed him. What you and I do follows us. There is a time in life when you have almost a bare field. You can plant anything in it that you want to, but that time doesn't stay still. And while you're dancing and singing through the youthful years, remember that you're also sowing seeds. And they're going to grow to be something. There is one inexorable rule of sowing and reaping. And that is two rules I meant to say. One of them is that the thing that is reaped is exactly the same thing that was sown. The scripture said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And then he went on to be explicit. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. If you sow vices when you're young, if you learn, for instance, that you can take a certain amount of nicotine or a certain amount of other kind of drugs and you can survive it, and you get up the next morning and you feel bad but you recover in a few hours, you can sow that, but there will come a time when the cub becomes a tiger and is much harder to deal with then. All the world around us is filled with people who shattered their lives on those very same rocks. So be careful what you put in your field about you. And the second great rule is, the first is that whatever you sow, you will reap, and it'll be the same seed. And the second is that the reaping is always much greater than the sowing was. Ah, you can start out with something that seems so small at the beginning, but sow it a little while in your life, and that one little grain of corn will become a whole stalk of corn, and it'll affect, could I say, your character, your reputation. It'll affect your belief system. The Lord wants us to build solid, holy things in our lives because there is a beautiful way to live for Him and to walk with Him. After all, I've learned at my stage of life that the present is very little but the outcome of what I've done in the past. And now, you may look at me and say, well, I think this way. I'll rephrase that. Most of life's choices are denied to me now. I chose Roberta, and I can't go back and change that. I chose to be a carpenter, and I can't go back and change that. You make choices, and then there comes a time when you can't, the opportunity for that is gone. That's the way life is, folks. Be careful what you choose because you're going to live. We're building a house and you're going to live in that house. And the next lesson that I have to say is that it is impossible that this sowing and reaping stops at the grave. There's something on the other side of all of this. Just as surely as there is right and wrong, there is a God. Just as surely as there is a God, there is accountability. So the scripture teaches us of a place beyond where this world is. It is bad enough to reap the consequences of sin in this world. How awful to think of reaping them in the next. We advise to everyone, plant Jesus in your life. Plant Jesus in your life. He is the one who lived here before us. in an innocent fashion. You see, I can put it another way. Speaking of sowing and reaping, life, when you're young, is like a picture that you take on an iPhone or a digital camera. And you can expand it just a little bit, but it's on a screen that's 2 inches by 3 inches or something like that. Life in later years is like taking that picture and blowing it up. Full size. The smile gets replaced by the wrinkles. And you see things in a much greater, more vivid perspective, and they're much harder to change. I could say that another way. There are many people, including me, who are my age, who would go back and change some things if they could. Be careful what you sow. Or I can say that this way. Once the field is plowed and harrowed and prepared for planting, if it's abandoned, it doesn't not grow something. Something will grow in that field. If you are careful to plant good seed, you can have a good harvest if you cultivate the seed. But if you allow your life to be unplanted, something is going to grow there, and folks are going to reap whatever it is that grows in that field. So, I recommend to you the Lord Jesus Christ, because when He was here, in His personal life, in the way He loved people, in the way He forgave people, in the charity that He showed toward people, His character was perfect. His love was absolute. His life is the most beautiful human life that has ever been lived. It was noble. It was pure. It was innocent. It was upright. Oh, folks, that Jesus wants to come and live in your heart and mind and make us to be in His image. We haven't the wisdom to know how to form our opinions by ourselves. But if we'll take the Lord first, He will be our guide. He is the one who was the greater, who put in the minds, for instance, of the founding fathers, the concept that all men are created equal and that we are endowed with certain inalienable rights. He wants to make that beauty shine in you and me. There is a way to live a life without bitterness, without hatred, without having destroyed our physical faculties by vices and sin, to not have dark secrets. You know, for some people, hell would be almost complete with just a simple word, son, remember. Because there are things in people's lives so dark sometimes, we'd be glad to forget it. And it'll haunt you and follow you without the blood of Jesus Christ to be in between. My little story's almost over now this morning, but I recommend to you, take time for Jesus. He has the perfect seed in His hand. I've spoken of us so far as a sower, and that is appropriate to the scripture that I've read. But the Lord spoke a parable beyond that. He said a sower went forth to sow. And in that case, He was speaking of Himself. So we are sowing because we make decisions, and we sow continually. And life is a process of sowing and reaping. But folks, if you invite the Lord in, He'll sow the good seed for you. Thank you for the courtesy of your attention this morning. Amen.